Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Mi'ilah Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Gimel. We should point out that we left off in the middle of a discussion. Hence, just to review, we will look at our nosei, our topic heading, in order to ease us into this particular discussion. You'll notice in the outside margin we have written nosei. As we said, this is a topic heading. And it reads as follows. Hevdel, a difference, bein chatos shemesa, a sin offering that dropped dead, de mechayim hoisa ru'uya lakrova. When it was alive, it was quite fit and ready to be sacrificed. De yesh oleho b'moiso mi'ilo d'rabonan. We say regarding that case that when the animal drops dead, it carries with it a rabbinic mi'ilo penalty. That is in opposition to l'chomesh chatos hamesos. There's a series of sin offerings that by virtue of an oral tradition that we call halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, this sin offering is set aside to die and cannot be offered. The afilu mechayim, even when they are alive, einon reuyos lahakrova, they're not fit to be offered. Shebohen, regarding this category known as the chamesh chatos hamesos, the 5 chatos examples that must be set aside to die, that even when alive they're not fit. Shebohen ein meilo afilu midrabanan. We will see in our Gemara that regarding those, there isn't even a rabbinic mi'ila prohibition. We should have mentioned maybe in our last shiur that the idea of mi'ila d'rabbanan is a type of rabbinic invention in order to keep someone away, to distance people from benefiting from, deriving personal benefit from items that originally carried sanctity with them. So that even though on a Torah level they might be out of the realm of the mi'ilah violation, nevertheless the rabbis imposed a mi'ilah restriction so as to create a sense of distance between people and those items. So now our Gemara continues on the, as we said, the 4th line from the top. Because in our last shiur, mention was made of a chatos, a sin offering that dropped dead, that there is mi'ilah d'rabbanan, here the Gemara asks, v'chatos shemeso mi is bo mi'ilah? Now, we had mentioned this idea of chatos shemesa having mi'ilah on the bottom of daf beis omid beis. You'll notice that we have included an arrow with an indication to look at beis omid beis, and if you look at the bottom line there, the arrow also to the right hand side of the Gemara text indicates gimel omid aleph. So that here we're referring to that line where mention was made in a Tanaic source that a chatos shemesa does have a mi'ilah penalty attached to it. Yet here we raise a question from another Tanaic source. So the Gemara asks, let's start from the beginning of the line. V'chatos shemesa mi is bo mi'ilah. Is it so that a chatos shemesa carries with it a mi'ilah penalty? V'ha tanya, we have a Tanaic source that reads, chatois hamesois, the chatois hamesois, those are the sin offerings that are supposed to be set aside to die and not be offered. Umois hahoichos liyam hamelach, and money, sanctified monies that are determined to be of no use, that are ruled upon to be brought to the salt sea, thrown into the salt sea where they eventually disintegrate. Lo nanin velo moalin. Regarding these things, the chatas amesis and the mois hahoichos liyam hamelach, lo nanin, one is not supposed to derive personal benefit from them. However, velo moalin, if one does, they are not in violation of me'ila. So we see, by virtue of our dashed underline, you can see what we're trying to focus on. It says there's no mi'ila by the chatos hamesos. The Gemara answers that there is a difference between the chatos hamesos, like, as we mentioned before, the five types of chatos, or five chatos situations that they're ruled upon to be set aside to die, as opposed to a simple or standard sin offering that dropped dead. The Gemara explains, Amri chatos hamesos, the five chatos hamesos, that is the feature of this most recent source, b'chayehen b'deilin min hoin, even while they were alive and hadn't died yet, people stayed away from them. Therefore, there's no need for the rabbis to impose a mi'ilah penalty, which is something designed to create distance from people and the item, because people stayed away from them anyway. La fuke, to the exclusion, hecho de mechayim to lo bedelin mine, as opposed to sacrifices, in this case a standard sin offering, that while the animal was alive, people didn't stay away from it. And therefore, in the event that that kind of animal, a standard kosher sin offering, suddenly dropped dead, there is the need of the Rabbanan to impose a rabbinic mi'ilah penalty, if one, of course, benefits from it. We now have a question. This question lasts a number of lines. You can see we've illustrated this with a long question marking. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf has been encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. And on the outside margin under our nosei heading, we've written Kusho al Rabo. The Gemara will ask a question on Rabo. Shemakshir of Yosef. Rav Yosef raises the question. Mi tzirufon shel gimel mishnayis. By stringing together information from three separate mishnayis, the royin, we will eventually see the korbonos sheshinu mekomam b'shvitasan. Korbonos, sacrifices that you altered their place of slaughter. You slaughtered them in the wrong place, which was the discussion that opened up our Masichta, basically. The Mishnah itself spoke about Kochi Kochim Sheshochtem Vadorom, and we had seen a Machlokis Rabo and Rav Yosef on the top of Beis Omid Beis. So here Rav Yosef will be asking on Rabo from these three Mishnahs, from which we will eventually see, im olu lemizbeach lo yerdu, if they were brought up to the mizbeach, they should not be taken off. Udalo kerabo diomar yerdu, unlike Rabo, who says they are to be taken off. So as we said, this is a long question. By stringing together three mishnayos, we'll eventually get to the point. So as you just skim ahead in the Gemara text, you'll notice a number of boxed, framed sections, following which you see a squiggle underlined expression for Kotoni Iluya, or Vekotoni, which means it is taught in another Tanaic source. So here we go with his question. Omar Eisfei Rav Yosef L'Rabo, Chado Migo Chado V'Chado Migo Chado, which means that the question that Rav Yosef raised is one source from within another source, and a third source following a second source. Otherwise put, Rav Yosef didn't find a question on Rabo from one Mishnah, but by stringing together information from three Mishnayos, we eventually come up with a question. So now let us see the sources. V'kulon ein metamin begodim abeis habliya u'moyolin bohen. There is no Tumas Beis Ablio as a reference to ritual impurity as a result of eating something. So that in this concept of Tuma that a person absorbs as a result or while eating something doesn't exist. And there will be Mi'ila. Chutz mechata sa'oif she'asa lemata kemaisa chata sa'oif l'shem chatas. With the exception of a chata sa'oif, a bird sin offering that was done at the lower part of the Mizbeach, as it is supposed to be done. Once something is done properly, so then there is no longer going to be Mi'ilah. We should point out that the pronoun of the kulon ein metamin begona beisaplia is a reference to bird offerings like a chatasa'of that was done as if it were an olasa'of, or an olasa'of that was done as if it were a chatasa'of. And the Rashi explains, based on the Gemara, that the problem over there involved a wrong location where the malika and the blood sprinkling was done in incorrect locations. The chatasof done in the location of an olasof, and an olasof done in the location of a chatasof. So the Mishnah tells us that even though there was this improper processing, they are nevertheless not viewed as if the birds died, and hence they don't communicate Tuma abe sablia. That's the tuma that one would otherwise absorb by eating a kosher variety dead bird. However, since they weren't processed properly, they still carry with them a mi'ila prohibition. The exception is, of course, as we mentioned before, a chatasof that was done properly. Continuing in the Gemara, v'katoni iluya, and regarding that source, it says in a second source, kol shahoya psula bakodesh eino metam megona beisablia. Any type of problem of ruination that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the bird was sanctified and it would have been a kosher sacrifice, but something after it was sanctified went wrong. So something like that is not going to communicate tuma abeisablia. V'chol shelo hoya psula b'kodesh. If, however, it's a deficiency that did not take place after it was sanctified or in its processing, then mitame begodem abeis ablia. It will communicate tumah if one eats it. So it all depends on the was it psula b'kodesh versus psula shelo hoya b'kodesh. V'katani. A third source says, "Kol shehoya psula b'kodesh, anything that was rendered unfit after it had already been sanctified." And an example of that would be a change in the mokom hashchita. In other words, you sanctify these sacrifices, something that should have been or would have been expected to be a kosher sacrifice, but you messed up on the shchita location. It says in the source, im olu lo yerdu. And we dashed underline lo yerdu. Tufta de rabba, tufta. This is a repudiation of rabba, who had said, on daf beis, amid beis, he had said that a change in the mokom hashchita would have caused it, the sacrifice, if brought on to the mizbech, to be removed. Here we see, it says in this source, lo yerdu. As we go on in the Gemara, it's going to be pointed out that which Rabbo and Rav Yosef were arguing about is something that is of certainty to Rav Elazar. The Gemara opens up with a point. We call this a long point, the nun you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. This point takes us to the fourth line from the top of Amud Beis. However, after we finish the point, the Gemara will proceed to dismiss the point with what we call in our markings a long dechiyah, a rejection. So let us see first the point before we can then deal with the rejection. V'hod the pligi bo Rabo v'Rav Yosef, that which Rabo and Rav Yosef were arguing about, pshita lei l'Rav Elazar, is obvious to Rav Elazar. In other words, Rav Elazar has clarity on the point that Rabo and Rav Yosef were arguing about. The Omar Rav Elazar, oilas bomas yochid, sheikh nisa lefnim. A bomas yochid is a private altar that at certain points in Jewish history before the construction of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, there were times, not all the time, but there were times that a private altar was allowed. The rules governing a private altar are much more flexible and lenient than the rules governing the central Mizbeach. So that when you're dealing with a Bomas Yochid, things like Isser Chutz don't apply, and other restrictions also don't apply. If you glance at the Rashi, the second line from the bottom, he says Bomas Yochid Eino Tuna Tzafon. There's no concept of north. Velo Tnufa. There's no waving. Velo Hagosha. Drawing near to the corner of the mizbeach when you're dealing with meal offerings. Velo Reach Nichoach. The Eino Nifsal Biyotze. So now our Gemara continues. And Olas Bomas Yochid is a reference to a Korban Ola that was dedicated to be brought at a private altar at the time that these private altars were allowed. Sheikh Nisa Lefnim, and the owner then brought it into the courtyard of the Mishkan. Koltuha Mechitzos Lechol Davar. The bringing into the courtyard of the Mishkan makes it such that it takes upon all the rules of a Mishkan dedicated sacrifice. So that even though originally when it was dedicated, when it was sanctified, it didn't have the tzafon requirement, now that you brought it into the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Mishkan, it takes upon those restrictions. Boy, Rabbi Elazar, Oilas Bomas Yochid, Sheikh Nisa, Shenifsala, and Olas Bomas Yochid was, as we just said, an Ola dedicated to be brought out of a Bomas Yochid, and the owner brought it into the Azora. And as we said, once you bring it into the Azora, it then takes on all of the characteristics and restrictions of a Mishkan dedicated sacrifice. Shenifsala means, for example, you you slaughtered it, a koche kochim, in the southern part of the Azora. Olu mahu shiyerdu. Let us say this koche kochim that had been originally dedicated to the Bomas Yochid. What happens if it's nifsal? As we said, it was slaughtered in the southern part of the Azora, and then it was brought onto the Mizbeach. Does it come off? The Gemara sees from the fact that he raises his issue in this unusual fashion, midikam abaya le lechado, from the fact that he's asking about a shchitas dorom on this odd case of the oilas bomas yochid, michlal di'idach, it must be that the other case, the standard case, if you will, an ola that someone sanctified initially to be brought in the Azora, to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, pshita lei, it must be obvious to him, to Rav Elazar, e karabo e k'Rav Yosef, either like Rabo approached it, or like Rav Yosef approached it. So that from the fact that Rebbe Elazar is asking about this unusual case, the case of the sanctified sacrifice to be brought initially in the Beis HaMikdash, and then there was a mess up in the Shechita, as far as Im Olu, Yerdu Olu, it must be that Rebbe Elazar has a definitive stance on that, either like Rabbah or like Rav Yosef, as is witnessed by the fact that he asks about the unusual case of the Olas Bomas Yachid that was Nifsala. So at this point then, we've come to the end of the point that the Gemara is making, that Rebbe Elazar has clarity on the very topic that Rabbah and Rav Yosef were arguing about. The Gemara now rejects our observation of Rebbe Elazar. Ad kan lo ka'omar Rabbah hosam. Actually, we skipped a couple of words on the fourth line from the top. The Gemara starts the Dechia. Chada migo chada kame bayale. That is that Rebbe Elazar, when he asked this question, he was really unsure about all of the cases, namely the case of an olas bomas yochid, and he was also unsure about the case of the ola dedicated initially to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara. And the Gemara explains, Ad kan lo koma Rabbah, it could be that till now Rabbah is saying what he did. He said, Yerdu, Hosam di im olu Yerdu, Elo de Mechitza. Why does he say his point im olu Yerdu? Because when you're dealing with a Mechitza, in this case the Mechitza means the enclosure of the Beis HaMikdash, Ketikna Pasla, a Mechitza Ketikna, that will cause the korban to be nifsal, and therefore Rabbah would say im olu yerdu. However, shelo ketikna lo pasla, but a mechitza shelo ketikna. The example that would be the olas bomas yochid that doesn't have a formal fenced-in area, as we mentioned earlier, that when you're dealing with the personal altars, so there is no psul yotze. So it could be that Rabbah had said his point im olu yerdu only when you're dealing with a mechitza ketikna. Oy dilma, or to the other extreme, afilu l'Rav Yosef omar im also lo tereid, even Rav Yosef who says that something is to be left on the top of the mizbeach, that's mechitza ketikna kolta, a proper enclosed area, namely the enclosure of the Mishkan, that causes something to be absorbed and kept in and having all of the laws that are relevant. However, shelo ketikna lo kolta, but a mechitza shelo ketikna, for example, the case of the olas bomas yachid, then we say lo kolta. And if we say it's not absorbed within, it could be then im also teireid. It is to be taken off. Only if it's a mechitza ketikna, then would Rav Yosef say im also lo teireid, because it was brought into a proper domain or expected domain, and it stays there. However, mechitza shelo ketikna, like the case of someone having dedicated the ola to be brought on a Bomas Yochid, where there's no Mechitza, so Lo Kolta, it doesn't absorb it, and therefore, since it doesn't get absorbed within, even Rav Yosef will concede that Im Olsa Teireid, it is to be taken off. Teku, so this issue remains unresolved, namely, where does Rebbe Elazar fit in to this machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Yosef? It's true that Rabbah had a definitive statement of im olu yerdu. That's because Rabbah was talking about a case of a mechitza ketikna. Likewise, Rav Yosef, who said im also lo tere, he said his din under a specific circumstance. But as far as our circumstance, that remains a question. And therefore, Reb Elazar, when he raised his question, he was really raising his question covering both aspects. And to say that that which Rabba and Rav Yosef were questioning is obvious to Reb Elazar, that's not so. Reb Elazar himself was raising the issue of Mechitza Ketikna as a question. But in addition to that question, he also raised the issue of the Mechitza Shelo Ketikna, namely the case of the Oilas Bomas Yochid. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. As you can see, we have a slash mark that appears in the Gemara, indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. We also have a special marking, a firebox, that you find around Rav Gittel's name. On the outside margin under our Nosei heading, we have an indication that this Nosei, this topic, will last till Daf Dalid Omid Beis. We have written under the Nosei heading, Dino Shel Rav Gittel Amarav concerns the rule or the law of Rav Gittel Amarav concerns Zrikas Pigol. That has to do with the Zrikas Hadam of a korban that is processed or that was processed with a wrong mindset. So that he speaks about a Zrikas Pigol, Eino Motzi Midei Mi'ila Bekodshei Kodshim, will not be successful in having a Kodshei Kodshim korban removed from the realm of Mi'ila, V'eino Mevi Lidei Mi'ila Bekodshim Kalim, nor will a Zrikas Pigol be successful in having the Emurim of a Kodshim Kalim enter the realm of Mi'ila. The Zrikas Pigol Ein Lo Hashivus. The Zrika done with a Pigol mindset has no significance, has no Hashivus. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Gittel, Omar Rav. Zrikas Pigol, Eino Motzi Midei Mi'ilo Bekotshi Kotshim. The sprinkling of the blood done with an incorrect mindset will not enable Kotshi Kotshim to leave the realm of Mi'ilo. The Eino Mevi Lidei Mi'ilo Bekotshim Kalim, and it won't allow the Emurim of Kodshim Kalim to enter the realm of Mi'ila. Yosef Abaye v'ka'omar lo lahoshmaitzo. Abaye sat and said over this teaching of Rav Gittel. Immediately, we notice a triangle. And as you glance ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice these triangles appear quite often. There's a plethora of triangles, and their position will be flipping back and forth, sometimes point up, sometimes point facing down. Under our Mivneh heading, the structural note, we explain what is going to happen. So, first of all, the triangle represents in this sugya a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style. With the point facing up, they represent kushos al Rav Gittel, challenges to Rav Gittel, and with the point flipped over, facing downwards, tshuvos, answers. B'mahalach ha-gemora, yechiluk, as the Gemara unfolds, a distinction will be made. Im hoyo machsheves pigol b'shchita bilvad, v'shosak b'zrika, if there was a machshava, a pigul intent, the incorrect mindset during the act of shchita alone. But when the zrika took place, the sprinkling of blood took place, that was done without an incorrect mindset. Well, that situation mevia lidei meilo, that will be capable of enabling the emurim of the kochim kalim to enter the realm of meilo. In other words, it will have a certain level of success attached to it. Im shochat v'gam zorak b'machsheves pigul. If, however, a person slaughtered and sprinkled in both activities with a pigul mindset, eino mevia lidei pigul, then it will be totally ineffective and won't enable the emurim of the kodshim kalim to enter the realm of mi'ila. We should say here in our note, eino mevia lidei mi'ila. V'hainu k'rav gidol, and that will be like Rav Gidol. And we now turn to the Gemara. Esve, the triangle, Esve, Rav Papa, Labai. Notice that this question lasts a number of lines, as is indicated by the kuf that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line that follows, indicating all of these lines form the question. So, Esve Rav Papa Labaye. We have a Tanaic source, and we want to emphasize that the question will come from the end of this source. The source deals with the slaughtering of a korban todah. Todah is a sheep offering accompanying which you will find 40 loaves of bread. Hashochit es ha-todah lifnim v'lachmo chutz l'choymo lo kidesh es alechem. If one slaughters the todah sheep while it's in the Azara, but the 40 loaves are outside the Azara, so the loaves do not become sanctified. Shochta ad shelo kormu poneha batanur. If one slaughtered the korban toda prior to the crust developing on the breads in the ovens, v'afilu kormu kulon chutz me'achas me'an, even if all of the breads, with the exception of one. We mentioned there were 40 loaves, so we're talking here about 39 loaves developing a krum, a crust, with the exception of one. Once again, 39, yes, but one still hasn't been reached that level of baking. Lo kidesh halechem, the lechem, the breads do not become sanctified. Shochta chutz lizmana, the chutz limkoma, if he slaughtered the Keves, the sheep brought as the Toda offering, with an incorrect mindset, namely outside of time or outside of place, with the intent to eat it at the wrong time or in the wrong location, Kidesh Halechem. The bread becomes sanctified. Now, as a result of the bread becoming sanctified, it then carries with it a Mi'ila prohibition. Alma, we see from here, pigul, maisi lo lidei mi'ila, that a shchitas pigul does enable something to enter the realm of mi'ila. That is a problem for Rav Gidol, who said that the zrikas pigul does not mevi lidei mi'ila. So this is Rav Papa's question to Abaye Ishtik, and Abaye was silent. Ki oso lekame to Rabbi Abba, when Abaye came to Rabbi Abba, Omar le bizrika. This is a very, very, very terse piece of Gemara. It's explained, therefore, that which we said, that the lechem becomes sanctified, that is because there was silence, namely there was no problematic machshava during the sprinkling of the blood. So it's not pigul gomor, it's not complete pigul. This is in contrast with the case that Rav Gidol was dealing with, which dealt with a case that there was pigul, there was this incorrect mindset even during the zrika. That really ruins things, so to speak, and therefore such a korban, where you did the shchita and the zrika with the pigul mindset, then his din applies, that it, if you're dealing with the kochim kalim, so it won't enter the realm of mi'ila. However, if only the shchita was done with the pigul mindset, and the zrika was done properly, then we will say that the korban can enter the realm of Me'ilah. Omar le Rav Ashi le Rava. Notice we have a triangle with the point facing up. This represents a question. V'ho Omar Ulo Koimetz Pigol Sheheloi Legabi Mizbeach. Kometz is the handful of a meal offering. Kometz Pigol would mean that the handful was taken from the bowl of flour that constitutes the meal offering, and it was done with an incorrect mindset, a pigol mindset. So, kometz pigol, sheheloi legabi mizbeach, if the kometz was that was done with the incorrect mindset was brought onto the mizbeach, poka pigulo mimenu, the bringing up onto the mizbeach enables the pigul status to be removed from the kometz, from the handful of the meal offering. Ukemitza hainu shchita. There is a parallel that's made between meal offerings and animal sacrifices. Each type of sacrifice, the meal offering and animal sacrifices, have their own stages of procedure. The Gemara parallels the handful of a meal offering to the slaughtering of an animal offering. Now, what one sees here from Rav Ashi's din, Rav Ashi quoting Ula, is that Pigol could be established with the handful taking alone, which in effect would mean that if you draw the parallel to an animal offering, that would mean that Shechita alone would create the pigul status. And if we take this parallel all the way, we would then find that the shechita, which we're paralleling to the kmitza, was the element that enabled the breads to become sanctified. And being that they're sanctified, the breads of the toda offering enter the realm of Me'ilah. So that creating this parallel, we end up with a kasha back on Rav Gittel Amar Rav. What we recommend doing is looking at the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary. You'll find this at the lower part of the page, almost at the bottom of the page. Let us estimate a few lines up from the bottom. You'll notice that the first of the widest lines, basically three lines from the bottom of the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary, he says, Mikol Mokom Kotoni Koimetz Pigul, the source, or more accurately, Ula's din was regarding a handful of Pigul. Handful of the meal offering that was taken, the pigel bekemitza. He created a pigel status by the taking of the handful. Upigel de kemitza hainu kemo pigel de shchita. The handful removal of a meal offering is parallel to shechting, slaughtering an animal offering with an incorrect mindset. Alma, we see from here the beshchita lechudo havi pigel, that through slaughtering alone, without the zrika, you can create a pigul status. The katani kidesh halechem, and when referring to shchita, we saw above by the toda shachta chutz lizmana. It also said that the breads became sanctified. the Mevi'o Lidei Mi'ilah. This it brings it to the realm of Mi'ilah. V'kashiel no Rav Gittel. This presents a problem for Rav Gittel. So now the Gemara answers at the bottom line of the Gemara. The Omar Lei. The answer, Isura de Maisi Lidei Pigol. Here too, let us look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. Picking up where we left off, Omar Lei Lo, Mehocha Lo Tikshi Lei. From here, don't ask your question on Rav Gittel. The Mai Kaimitz Pigol Tikotani. That which Ula said, Kaimitz Pigol, Lo Omar de Bekmitza Lechudahavi Pigol. He's not saying that with the taking of the handful, it becomes Pigol. Elamai Kaimitz Pigol? What does Kaimitz Pigol mean? Isuro de Maisi Loli de Pigol. A wrong or forbidden activity that will bring it to a Pigol status. Shehischil Lefago Bekmitza, the beginning, the first stage is taking the handful with an incorrect mindset. Dahainu hascholas isur pigol lolum lohavi pigol gomor adshe pigel bekulu avodos. But it doesn't really become a pigol meal offering until you have the pigol mindset with regard to the subsequent stages as well. Vehu hadin l'shchita. Similarly, with regard to the issue of slaughtering with a pigol mindset, the shchita havio hatchilas isur pigol, v'lo havi pigol gomor. The shchita represents only the beginning of the pigol status, but it's not full pigol. And the pigel nami bezrik until you're mefagel also at the sprinkling of the blood. Hilkoch kidesh halechem. Therefore, when he slaughtered the Toda with the pigol mindset, all he did was simply slaughter. Umevio lidei me'ilah. That can, in fact, bring it to a me'ilah status. The lo pigel el b'shchita l'chuda. His machsheves pigel was only during the shchita stage. The lo havi pigel gomor ad the pigel nami bezrika. The Rabbeinu Gershom continues. We're on daf dalet amud aleph. Hilkoch, since his pigel machsheva was only during the shchita, it enables the bread to become sanctified. Hilkoch kidesh alechem umevio lidei mi'ilah. And through the bread becoming sanctified, they enter the realm of mi'ilah. Delo pigel elo b'shchita l'chuda. Delo have pigel gomer. His machsheves pigel was only during the shchita, and hence it doesn't become full-fledged pigel. The Adam Rav Gittel, the Eino, mevi lidei mi'ilah, that which Rav Gittel said, that something does not become mi'ilah through, doesn't enter the realm of mi'ilah through pigel, the pigel nami bezrika. That is because he had pigel machshava during the zrika as well. So when you have a situation of a let's say kochim kalim that you shechted and did the zrika sadam with a machsheves pigel, Rav Gittel's din stands that the emurim do not become subject to mi'ilah. They don't enter the realm of mi'ilah. The Gemara continues with a question at the top of Daf Dalet. V'ha katani ala, but does it not say concerning the case of the meal offering, im achirim mevi lidei pigol, if the handful taken with the pigol mindset is able to bring the shirayim, that is the balance, the remainder of the meal offering that is ordinarily consumed by the Kohanim, if it is able to bring them, to make the shirayim into pigol, im achirim, achirim is the shirayim, mevi lidei pigol hu atzmoi lo kol shekein, the handful itself, well, all the more so. The Rashi, you'll notice, we have a little star in the Rashi, just to focus our attention. Rashi says, Alma de machshava de koimetz lechud. The pigul machshava during the taking of the handful alone have a pigul gomor. That seems to be a complete pigul. Vuadin de machshava de shchita lechuda. Similarly, the same thing will apply to shchita alone. V'katani de kiddush halechem. And back in the case of the todah, it said that the breads do become sanctified. The mevi lidei meila. V'kashya l'rav gidol. And we see that the pigul machshava during the shchita itself causes the breads to enter the realm of meila. Once again, a question on Rav Gidol. The Gemara answers on the second line from the top, Ha nami isura de maisi lidei pigul. The reference to the taking of the handful as being the basis of pigul simply means it's the first stage that will eventually lead to complete pigul. That's provided that you continue to have the incorrect mindset during the subsequent stages of the processing of the meal offering, specifically during the burning of the handful. So that in order to be considered pigul gomor, you would have to have the handful taken and placed in the fire with the incorrect mindset. We have another question. You'll notice the triangle point facing up. And we've also indicated this is a long question by writing into the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, Ilfa, and circling his name with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating the length of this question material. Amale Ravina the Ravashi. The Omar Ilfa, but Ilfa has taught, and maybe just a word of background before we go on to this section of Gemara, in the act of Shechita, two pipes are cut, the trachea and the esophagus, when you're dealing with an animal offering. There's a machlokas tanoim, if one mixes together two kinds of machshavas when processing a korban. The two machshavas that we've had, we've referenced to them already, that's chutz lizmano and chutz l'mekoymoy. So what happens, and we should point out, that when you're dealing with a chutz l'mekomo korban, there is no kores penalty. However, if you're dealing with a chutz lizmano korban, there is a kores penalty. What happens if you have both machshavas when slaughtering an animal? Does the order make a difference? So, by rule of thumb, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the machsheves zman comes before the machsheves mokoim, that potentially can establish the korban as a pigul korban carrying with it a kores penalty. The Rabbanan disagree with him, though, and they say that when you mix in l'mokom, it sort of neutralizes the potency of the chutz lizmano machshava, and it becomes a simple lav, a prohibition, but not kores. This is just by way of background, but it's not totally essential for the understanding of the Gemara's Kasha. Let us go ahead in the Gemara and eventually point out what the problem for Rav Gidol is from here. So Ravina says, but doesn't Ilfa say the following? Machloikis b'shtei avodos. There is a machloikis between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding someone who is shechting a korban. The shtei avodos is a reference to the two pipes, the trachea and the esophagus, where during one, they're referred to as simonim, that during one simon he has a machsheves chutz lizmano, and during the other simon he has a machsheves chutz lemkomo. There, Rabbi Yehuda will say it's full-fledged pigul with a kores penalty, and the Chachamim will disagree. Kegol diyama hareini shochet simen rishon chutz lizmano v'simen sheni chutz lemkomo. That's the example of the shtei avodos in which you will see a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, where he shechs the first one with a chutz lizmano machshava, with an intent to eat the korban at the wrong time, and the second tube he does so with a chutz lemkomo, wrong place mindset. Avo bavoid achas. However, during one tube he has both machshavos. He mixes his machshavos during the slaughtering of the cutting of one tube, not a separate machshava per tube, but both machshavos during one simen. The kuli alma, iruve machshavos have. Everyone will agree that that's considered a mixing of machshavos. And namely, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that in a case like that, there won't be a kores penalty. The mixing of machshavos is tantamount to saying that the potency of the machshavos man will be neutralized by the machshav of chutz l'mokayim, will be mitigated. What's the main point, though, from this discussion? We see from here that during the shechita alone, a machshavos pigul during the shechita alone can create what seems to be a full-fledged pigul. And shechita alone, we saw before, was mekadesh the lechem, sanctified the bread of the toda. So that what we have is a machsheves pigul. Here we're describing shechita alone, creating pigul, and shechita alone, we saw, was mekadesh the lechem. That was in the Brisa before, involving the toda, where the Tanaic source, that is, featuring the toda, where it said on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Shochta Chutz Dizmano Kidei Shalechem. This is a kasha on Rav Gittel. The Gemara answers, Hochi Nami. Here too, when we describe the issue of the Shechita and the creation of Pigol, L'chi Zorik, only when the blood is eventually sprinkled, tigli milsa lemafreya, then we will be able to determine things retroactively, e ba'avoida achas, whether if the machshavas were during one simen, both machshavas during one simen, e b'shtei avodos, or the machshavas were during each simen, during the two simonim. We have a note to look in Rashi. You'll see the double star, and you'll notice this in the about halfway down the Rashi wide lines. Omar loch Rav Gittel, hachanami lo Omar demachsheves shechita lechuda pigul. Here too, we're not saying that during the shechita alone you create pigul, elo lechizorik, when you do the eventual sprinkling of the blood, tigli milsa, it will then become obvious, e bavoda achas, e rev hamachshavos, e b'shtei avodos. Did he have his two machshavos during one simon, or his two machshavos during two simonim? The choshev b'shtei avodos, if his machshava was during the two simonim, during the shechita of each simon separately, when he then does the sprinkling of the blood with the pigol mindset as well, have a pigol, then it will become pigol. The Rabbi Yehuda kid islay, Rabbi Yehuda, according to his approach, that it would be pigol with a kores penalty. The Rabbanon kid islu, a mitigated pigol problem. The bavoda achas, and if his two machshavos were during one simen, everyone will agree there's no pigul. The main point is that there is no establishing in as full-fledged pigul until the zrikas adam. The hasam, in the case of the lachmei todah, hainu time of the kiddush alechem, the reason that the breads became sanctified, the shasak bezrika, he was silent during the zrika, did not have a machshavas pigul during the sprinkling of the blood. The lo pigel elo b'shchita l'chuda, his incorrect machshava was during the slaughtering alone. Aval im pigel bezrika nami, if he however had a machshavas pigul during the sprinkling as well, lo maisi kochim kalim de mi'ilo, then the kochim kalim, the low level sanctity sacrifices, will not enter pigul, kidarav gidol, just like Rav Gidol teaches. The Gemara continues. You'll notice the triangle faces up again. Ihochi gabi toido nami ad dezorik. Well, back to regarding the toda, when the zrikas hadam takes place with a machsheves pigul, it says in the source that the bread becomes sanctified, it would then come out that a zrikas pigol does bring the breads to a mi'ilo status, which is again a kasha on Rav Gittel. So that this question is suggesting that when you see in the original Toda source it says shachta chutz lizmana, the shachta may very well include shchita, which eventually leads to a zrika, where you have the zrika also with the machshavas pigul, but still it says there is kidei shalechem, meaning the bread becomes sanctified. The Gemara responds, my kidesh, what does kidesh mean in the Toda source? Lifsal, it's sanctified to the extent that it becomes rendered unfit. The boi srefa, it needs to be burnt, but not that it will carry with it a me'ila penalty. Let us glance at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Ihachi tikshile nami de ka'omar de ad dezorik lo havi pigol de letame gabi todo nami lo havi pigol ad dezorik." So the source before this spoke about shochta chutz lizmano. We can say he slaughtered the toda, but it doesn't become pigol until you do the zrika. Im ken kashule ha. The source of Toda becomes once again a kashon of Gittel. The mai kidei shalechem de komar. The kidei shalechem, the sanctification of the breads that was featured in that Toda source back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. You know what it is? My lav lechiyuvei lemila. That it means to bring it to the realm of milaf agav the hashdavi pigol gomor the pigol bezrika. We're understanding things now that the shchita was followed by a pigol zrika. Alma zrikas pigol mevia lidei me'ilo bekotchem kalim. The sprinkling of the blood with a pigol mindset does enable something in the realm of kotchem kalim, like is the case of the toda, to enter the realm of me'ilo. Then to that the Gemara answered, and we continue with the Rashi, loi, my kidei shalechem. What does kidei shalechem mean in that source? It doesn't mean that there is mi'ilah. In other words, the Gemara is accepting this understanding that shachta means you slaughtered the toda, and it was followed by a pigol zrika. However, the kitsha lechem doesn't mean it becomes subject to mi'ilah, but simply it's kidesh alechem lifsal, kidesh the boy srefa, it's sanctified that now it needs to be burnt. The lo have a kechulin, it's no longer like something common or mundane. Avolola mi'ilah. It doesn't mean it's sanctified to the extent that if you benefit from it, you'll be in violation of mi'ilah. And with this approach, uchad Rav Gittel, this conforms to Rav Gittel, that if you have a shchita and a zrika done with a pigol mindset, then when you're dealing with kotshim kalim, it's incapable of bringing it to a mi'ilah level of prohibition. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.